From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of January 2018. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds will be here to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. It'll be all about Brazil and the dry conditions in Mato Grosso and some other parts of that nation. We'll discuss that with Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Oh, and we'll take a look at the agricultural news for the day as we start out this 2019 right here on Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us for the day.
Happy New Year, Todd.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you saw the end of last year and where it sets us up as we go into the new year.
Well, the uptrends still remain in place on corn and soybeans, and I guess emphasize that more than anything. I know we have some sharp down days every once in a while, and gets everybody spooked, but when you put trend lines on them, everything's moving to the northeast. So I guess the trend is your friend until it changes, and I think that is what we're seeing here at the first part of the year. Stock market equities, they're continuing to lose value. People are either losing money or getting the hell out and looking for a place to invest their money in something different. And we might be getting some help from outside fund type traders in the commodity market. This is the time of year you can pretty well spin any kind of BS about the next year's crop, weather conditions, planted acres. You can spin about anything because there's nothing really to negate it. So I just think we're, continuing the uptrend seasonally. That's the way things are supposed to work. Now we will be hitting the January crop report. And that will also have the December 1st stocks on hand report. So that's how they'll come up with the actual production number. They'll kind of back out of the stocks report that was taken first part of December. And then that'll give us a pretty good indication of what kind of disappearance is actually taking place. And then USDA will have a little better handle on actually what was produced. Or, so there's room for changes on that January report. There's always a surprise somewhere along the line. It can go either way, either less acres, more acres, higher yield, less yield, whatever. So we do have that hurdle to go through. But once we get past that January final, then I think all the emphasis will start to begin to really go on what's happening in South America, what the 2019 crop, what kind of prospects, what kind of acreage mix might be in the works. As crazy as it is, I'm hearing people thinking about industrial hemp as an alternate crop. I don't know too much about, where the market is, how the market set. I don't know anything about that. So there'll be a lot of discussion, I think, on acres for next year, and maybe some acres will just set idle, go into pasture, hay ground, whatever. I think right now there's been a lot of talk about generally favorable South American weather conditions. Talking to people in December, you thought they would be harvesting already. I don't know if they are. I haven't seen anything that they are harvesting and starting to move beans into the pipeline. I think the current weather pattern it's kind of too wet in some areas, maybe too dry in other areas. So maybe that crop ain't quite as big as what they were thinking at the end of the year. And that was one of the reasons why soybeans were able to have a pretty good rally yesterday and continue their advance here today. With the big bean advance, corn, it was just a matter of time. Corn had to take a run and catch up. And I would say today was kind of corn's day to catch up to beans. But like I said, the overall trend lines are good. I do think on a retracement level, now it begins to maybe get a little tricky on soybeans after we had the decline. Soybeans have a tendency to retrace either 38% or 68%. Those are kind of more dominant than a normal 50% retracement. And you, if you look at today's advance, we kind of climbed above the 50% level on March beans and actually November beans. So that basically, I think on the March beans, that kind of opens up the door to maybe go back to the 68% retracement level, which could be like 928 or so on the March contract. I think if you take a look at maybe the November beans, 68% retracement on beans would maybe go back to like 952 or something like that. So if anybody's looking at a spot to reduce some inventory, those would probably be some target areas that I would be looking at over the next step. You know, I guess we only got one more day left. These 4-day weekends have got everybody, got me really screwed up, but I guess we only got one more day, but then next week. So I would say those would be some kind of target levels if somebody's wanting to do something on soybeans.
So a couple of observations and maybe some questions in the process. So on the yearly charts, the lead option corn, so March to March, March 2017 to March, or March 2018 to the March 2019 futures, right? Up 24¾ cents year over year. Soybeans, January to January, down 69¼ cents. And as we started last year, the ratio of those futures contracts, and there are four of them there, but the ratio, the corn-soybean ratio last year going into the year was 2.7 to 1. And this year it's 2.4 to 1, 2.4 being the long-term average for the corn-to-soybean ratio. Do any of those numbers tell you much about what this coming year should look like?
Well, I think the 2.4 is telling you that that's kind of a neutral point. That doesn't necessarily encourage acres one way or the other. That then, I think, becomes the individual farmer's decision, what his land and what his rotation is. There's no incentive there when you have that historical relationship of corn soybeans to increase corn acres or increase soybean acres or whatever. It's kind of in that neutral zone. 2.4 to 2.5, I kind of consider kind of a neutral zone. Anything above 2.5, it begins to tell you to plant soybeans. Less than that, it tells you to, you know, maybe plant corn or stay where you're at. So I guess with at that kind of ratio, I would say that maybe we might not see any big shifts in acres. But I think, you know, farmers and just about everybody in the industry is looking at that billion bushel bean carryout potential. And that just scares everybody to death. So, you know, that might, if someone was going to stay with their current planting mix, that probably would encourage them to probably do early pricing of soybeans, or it might have them switch over to corn a little bit since beans is not quite as favorable economically as corn is. But as you know, it's all about what kind of weather we get this summer and how the crop grows. But my guess is we're going to lose some soybean acres, and my guess is we're probably going to pick up some corn acres. Whether or not that's significant, I don't know. And then whether or not how much acres we go to maybe some of these alternate crops, I'm sure that's going to be fairly minor, but it might surprise me, and there might be a bigger factor than what I would think. But my guess is more corn, less beans, at least for now anyway, and we'll see, you know, how that South American crop materializes and what kind of pressure that puts on the market, if it puts any on the market. So far, all of this talk of big bean carryouts, big South American crop, really hasn't done that much damage to new crop bean prices. When you look at new crop November beans, if the futures would pop up into that 950 area, you know, that's only 50 cents or 70 cents cheaper than what they were last year. And we didn't have a billion bushel carryout. So I think the trade must feel that the demand factor for U.S. soybeans must be bigger than what's public knowledge, and or they have a lot of faith and hope that there's going to be some kind of deal cut with China. But, yeah, you know, like I tell everybody, you know, I want to stay optimistic on it. But at some point in time, if there isn't a deal cut, there may be a big vacuum underneath this market that might just wake up someday and just, you know, scare the dickens out of everybody. So that would be one worry that I would have probably.
Well, we can talk more about that during Commodity Week when we record in about 40 minutes or so. You and Ellen Dearden and Joe Vaklevic, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again very, very shortly.
Very well, Todd.
That, of course, Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the partial government shutdown, including non-essential USDA functions, is raising producer concerns over timely farm bill implementation ahead of this year's planting season, and it's unnerving producers, according to the American Farm Bureau Executive Director. His name is Dale Moore.
It's always a challenge to implement a farm bill, but when the department doesn't have funding, that's certainly something that we're all holding our breath to see how quickly, A, that can get resolved, and B, how that helps the secretary and his team get started on implementing this new farm bill. This is certainly going to be a challenge, and one we're hoping gets resolved very soon.
Well, some programs, including market facilitation payments, are continuing uninterrupted, but Moore says farmers need to know soon what combination of regular farm programs they'll use to manage risk.
One thing that we have heard a lot about in the lead up to getting the farm bill done in Congress and the president getting it signed was, you know, the assurances that farmers are going to have an opportunity to make new decisions on whether they're signed up for ARC or PLC.
Moore warns timing is key for producers and their lenders.
Fundamentally, they would like to have something done well before they get started on that spring planting process. And that, I think, is why when the farm bill, you know, they had a fairly short window for implementation that was spelled out in the bill, and that's a pretty hard mark to hit when you don't have the funding and to have your personnel in place.
And Moore says the missing piece right now is whether producers can get into their local FSA office and figure out their 2019 plans. Those offices began shutting down as funding ran out last Friday. Staying with the shutdown for just a moment, new leaders convened in Congress today, and they'll need to figure out whether they can end the government shutdown. The Department of Agriculture and other federal agencies are reaching a breaking point that, according to Politico, as many agencies are running out of carryover funding. Democrats, who now control the House of Representatives, were expected to vote on a spending package upon taking office today, but the Senate is not expected to accept that plan. USDA has closed the Farm Service Agency offices across the nation due to the shutdown. Producers who certified their 2018 production are expected to receive market facilitation program payments. The aid package is designed to offset trade losses to farmers stemming from the Trump administration's trade agenda. However, producers who have yet to certify 2018 production will have to wait until the shutdown concludes. USDA has continued some services, including meat and commodity inspections. along with Forest Service law enforcement, some research measurements, and continuation of SNAP benefits. Since we mentioned trade, the Trump administration seems a bit quiet ahead of the talks with China next week, though the president has tweeted about it a couple of times. However, that's fueling some concerns that concessions by China may not be enough to satisfy U.S. demands. Bloomberg News reports the measures by China to open its economy mostly fall short of U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer's demands. Lighthizer wants changes on alleged forced technology transfer and theft of intellectual property. China's move to open its economy included renewed purchases of U.S. soybeans and rice, critical for the ag economy. However, with Lighthizer demanding structural changes on technology transfers, China continues to complain, quote, it's not clear the U.S. side knows what it wants, unquote. A trade analyst recently told Bloomberg it's hard to imagine a deal can be reached by the U.S. set deadline of March 1. Trade officials from the United States and China will meet in Beijing next week. And finally today, U.S. soybean exports to Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa have increased 140 million bushels. That compared with the last marketing year at this time. The U.S. Soybean Export Council called the markets a bright spot, as the data represents a 210% increase in whole soybeans and a 17% increase in soybean meal exports. The Soybean Export Council recently held a major regional U.S. soy trade exchange in Spain, attended by some 300, which increased focus in other export markets. Countries with largest bushel increases this marketing year include Egypt at 30 million, Spain at 23 million, the Netherlands at 15 million, Italy at 12 million, and Portugal at 10 million. The data shows a shift in demand for U.S. soybeans as the United States tries to work out details to end the trade war with China. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt. As we start the new year, what are your expectations for this week and the end and next week?
Well, you know, we're starting out the year with a nice little rally. Market has been heavily focused for quite some time on the U.S.-Chinese situation, but then come in here to start the new year, and we've got a little bit of a dryness issue going on in Brazil, and people are talking about too much rain in Argentina. You see some of these estimates start to trickle down just a little bit on the size of the Brazilian soybean crop, but we probably shouldn't fool ourselves too much. It's still going to be an awfully big crop. But, you know, is this going to have any legs? I think that remains to be seen. As long as we continue to see a little bit of positive vibes as far as the trade front goes, I think this market can hold together and kind of wait and see what this weather does.
Yeah, by big, meaning that even if it's cut because the acreage went up, it'll be as large as the monster crop harvested last year, if nothing else continues to go wrong there?
Well, it's certainly got that potential. You know, I'm seeing some guys talking 116, 117 now, though, which is a lot lower than kind of what I thought. But if we did get hurt with some of the recent dryness, there's certainly a reason to warrant dropping the estimate somewhat, but that's still an awfully large crop. And when you look at the world stocks for soybeans, it's pretty tough to get terribly concerned that we're going to be running short of beans anywhere in the world. And so, I think it's still going to be an awfully big crop, especially considering what we've got.
And I've got about 50 seconds left here. Most producers will have gotten their second round of the MFP payment. Maybe don't need to move grain, corn, or soybeans at this point. Should they hold pat?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think that this corn market has got the chance to be a fairly decent market, especially if the bean market can hold together. Now, obviously, if this thing would go entirely wrong next week with the U.S. and China, we don't get any positive momentum there, I'd be a little bit concerned. But I'd probably be more of a seller of soybeans than I would corn at this point, especially looking at it from a profitability standpoint. It's hard to argue when you add that $1.65 to today's prices with the kind of yields we had here in this part of the world. It's tough to argue with that.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this third day of January. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Oh, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Happy New Year to you as well, and thanks for having me on. Always great to be here, and let's have another great year in 2019.
Well, let's start that great year by talking about the crops in Argentina and Brazil. Brazil in particular was off to a really good start. The numbers we have seen as it pertains to the expectations, the size of the soybean crop have been enormous based on increased acreage there and a really good start to the marketing year as it relates to weather. However, things over the last several weeks haven't been so great for them. Can you tell me about some of the dry conditions they've been suffering through?
Well, everything you said, I would agree with. The problem that we have now is that it stopped raining, and that happened around 20 to 30 days ago. And that's very unusual in Brazil because this area of the world at this time of the year averages about 3.5 to 5 inches of rain every 2 weeks. So that's a lot wetter than what we would see in the United States in any given point in time. And that's just the way their climate works. What that tells us is that for their soybean crop, they rely on a lot of rain throughout the growing season in order to produce a nice size corn and soybean crop. And even though things were looking great about 30 days ago, it doesn't look so great right now. 79% of the soybean crop in Brazil was drier than normal over the last 30 days, and that's as of Tuesday morning. Same thing for first crop corn. About 69% of that crop was drier than normal over the period. What that tells us is that we need quite a bit of rain. If we go back 1 year ago, we never saw anything quite like this. The entire growing season for soybeans always had the proportion of dryness under 50%, and for the most part was around 30% throughout the entire year. That led to a soybean crop that was 2.8% above the trend line yield. Right now, WASDE is projecting a yield that's pretty similar and just a little bit lower than what happened last year. But the problem we have now is that it's kind of hard to argue for an above trend yield when you see this type of dryness out there. But of course, Todd, it always will come down to how much rain is out there in the future.
And what do you see?
Well, this is where it is a little bit tricky. We can see there will be some thunderstorms over the next 3 to 4 days. Those will focus on the central and southern growing areas, but not so much in the northern areas. What we need, though, is a big rain. We don't need isolated thunderstorms or scattered thunderstorms. We need a big thunderstorm cluster to form and then roll across these key growing areas over the next 5 to 10 days. At this point, it does not look like that's going to happen. Again, we will see scattered thunderstorms over the next 3 to 4 days. Then we can see it's going to dry out quite a bit next week, and there will be some heat on top of that. Once we get about 10 to 14 days into the future, some of these rain chances return, but by the time you add up all of these rain events, we're only looking for rainfall of around 1.75 inches to 3.50 inches compared to, again, 3.5 inches to 5 inches is normal. So this is only around 50% of normal to maybe close to normal, but the bottom line is we need a lot of rain, and it's questionable as to whether or not all of that rain is coming.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. I'm Todd Gleason.